everybody. Welcome to the Dolly Mama podcast. I'm really excited today because I have two young moms. Both of them have children two and under. And one of them happens to be my daughter, who's been on before. And another one is my daughter's friend, Liz, who has not been on. But they both have blogs, and we'll talk about that later, where you can find them on social media. But for now, I would love for them to introduce themselves and tell you a little bit about who they are and what they do.
Hi, I'm Sarah Messick, and I'm the Dolly Mama's daughter. I live in central Pennsylvania. I got married about 3 years ago, coming up on my third wedding anniversary. We have a little son who is about 18 months, and during the school year, I'm a teacher.
Right. Thank you, Sarah. So, and then now Liz, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
I'm Liz, also known as Elizabeth Enns Petters. That's usually how I go online. I'm the daughter of Pete Enns. You might have heard me on his podcast before. I am a stay-at-home mom to a little girl who is 20 months and very sassy. And I've been married for about 5 years now. But before I did that, I worked in the social work field. So big change.
Oh, wow. And you are pregnant with your
second? I am pregnant. Yeah, I'm pregnant with our second baby.
And when are they due?
Due November 23rd.
Awesome. So yeah. You are going to have two little ones under 2.5?
Right.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Awesome.
Should be an adventure.
And Sarah, you are not pregnant.
No, I'm not pregnant.
So one of the reasons why I wanted to have them on, because one is a stay-at-home mom and one is a working mom, and they're navigating those worlds and have some really good stuff to talk about and some messy stuff to talk about and hard and all that it means to be a mom. And the subject we're really going to tackle today is a universal mom subject, and it is mom guilt. The guilt that all moms have, probably from before they were, their babies were even born. And I was telling them earlier that I have it today. My kids are 26 down to 19, and I still struggle with mom guilt. So we're going to try to tackle that.
Except for I'm 27.
Oh, you're 27.
Oh, wow. Mom guilt. You didn't know your kids' age.
Wow, I didn't know my kids' age. So there you go, 27. That's perfect. So yeah. I do have a little twinge of that guilt now, not knowing how old you are. So I guess I'm just going to ask them first what they would say would be the best thing that they found in their first couple years of being moms. As a working mom, what was your best thing, Sarah?
I just think it's really cool to watch our little guy get his own personality, and we're just obsessed with watching him, my husband and I. We just watch him run around. We think he's super cool. He's a little bit spicy and aggressive and fun. And we just like getting to see that. He's very silly. We like the little games that he comes up with and the ways he makes us laugh. So I think that's one of our favorite things about parenting so far.
Yeah. What would you say has been that it's been good for you to be a mom who's worked? Like why you made that choice?
Yeah, I like being a working mom because it gives me the time away from my child and that I can do things that I enjoy. Even now in the summertime, I can still bring him over to daycare and I can do things that I need to do and take time for myself. So I think not having to watch him all the time is helpful for me, getting to have a break from him.
Yeah, thanks.
Honesty.
Mom guilt.
But honesty. Because toddlers are something.
Yeah. They are something. So Liz, how about you? Why did you decide to stay at home? And what has been the best thing about having Lila?
Yeah, that was a really hard decision. I actually worked till Lila was about 8 months old because I was good at my job and it gave me a lot of purpose and I wasn't ready to give that up. But it just didn't work for our family. My husband works a lot and his job is just super crazy. And so it wouldn't work for me to have a crazy job. Like it just wouldn't work. So we kind of made the decision together that I would stay home with her. And I'm really thankful that I can stay home with her because I literally get to see everything that she does, which is really fun. Like Sarah said, they're funny little people and you're watching them grow up and you're watching them learn things about life and learn things about themselves, which is really, really nice. So I've really, really loved that. But it's definitely been a transition for me, learning how to have good self-care when I don't have a lot of time to myself.
Right. Mm-hmm. You don't have a lot. I was in the same situation. My husband worked tons, was gone 7 o'clock in the morning till 8 o'clock at night. And that was why we decided for me to stay home, because I just couldn't add into the chaos mm-hmm. of the family. And like your situation, a little bit different, Sarah, mm-hmm. because you both are home.
Yeah, I think for us, financially, my husband and I make about the same amount, and not quite enough, I think, to sustain us without one of us working. I think if we really got down to it, probably we could, but it helps financially for us both to work. And his job is more heavy in the summertime, and then in the wintertime, he's able to be home by 5 o'clock. He makes a lot of the dinners, so that when I come home from school around the same time, we can both do that together, and we have plenty of time in the evening then to tag team that, so that one of us isn't feeling overdone. We can do it together. Right. And he has that flexibility. And then I have a lot of free time in the summer, so that when he gets busy, then I can kind of take over and help and do things around the house and get things together in that way. So it worked out for us to be able to do that.
Right. So what is one of the worst things that you've found, or hardest things that you've found staying home, Liz?
It's really exhausting. There's no sense of purpose. I don't have my 20-month-old saying, like, good job, mom, you got through another tantrum or whatever. So it's really, really exhausting. And I have found that I've had to be so, so intentional about finding time for myself and giving myself grace and having mom friends that I can just show up at their house and bring my kid. And
that even happened today, right?
Yeah, it happened today. Yeah, I dropped her off at a friend's house before I came here, which was super helpful. And that's like the friend that I usually go to when I need help. But yeah, it's a totally different world. So it's been hard. And I think too, for somebody who like tried working and kind of wanted to make that work, at least part-time, and then now not working, it's just been an interesting transition.
Right. And what about for you, Sarah? What was the hardest thing about working and having a baby?
I think this sort of goes into the mom guilt. I think initially starting to work was really hard. I went back to work about 6 or 7 weeks when Broden was born, and he was late coming. So I'd already taken a week of my maternity before he got here, and it was just kind of a nightmare. He was so little. We were so exhausted for the months after that when I started working, because he wasn't sleeping. And then honestly, trying to breastfeed and be a working mom didn't end up working out for me. And that was really, really a hard, hard thing that I had to walk through. And part of it was, I think Broden wasn't a good feeder. He was very wiggly. He didn't want to sit still. And he was basically punching me while I was nursing him. And the other part of it was I went back so early and then I was gone. Thankfully, I've gotten a closer job. But when I started with Broden, I was commuting about 45 minutes each way. So my days were about 10 hours long. So I couldn't pump enough in that time and then have him feed enough because I wasn't with him enough. And I think that's one of the hard things about being a working mom is I don't feel like I'm with Broden as much when the school year is happening. And I get sad that I'm missing things about him.
Right. That is really hard.
Yeah.
That was hard.
Yeah.
I mean, that was she's really my hard. Daughter, and that was a hard, hard time. And I think that you started to lead into what we're talking about today, mm-hmm. which is the mom guilt. And it's interesting how it is kind of universal. So did you want to keep talking about that? What did you feel guilty about there? What was some of your things?
I think I felt a little bit guilty being raised by a stay-at-home mom. I think I didn't want to send my child to daycare. I wanted to breastfeed. And that was a little bit more just disappointing for me, maybe even than guilt. It was just a disappointment. But I think some of that guilt is, well, thankfully, I don't have to do the daycare drop-off. I think that would give me a lot of guilt if I had to drop him off. And the days I do drop him off, I feel like that twinge of guilt and that sadness that I'm going off to take care of 20 other children besides my own for the day. But I get to do the pickup, so that's nice. And so just feeling bad that I have to leave him at the daycare and I don't get to be with him all day is one of my mom guilt.
Right. How about you, Liz?
I have all sorts of mom guilt.
Me too.
It's interesting. What's really interesting to me, though, is Sarah and I are good friends. And obviously, like, she works and I don't. And through our relationship, like, we found that we both don't feel like we're enough as a mom. Yeah. So that's really interesting to me. You always think that somebody else is maybe doing it better. But mm-hmm. we're both doing different things and neither one of us feels like it's good enough. For me recently, a hard mom guilt thing for me has been now that I'm pregnant and just early on in my pregnancy, feeling really sick all the time and putting on the TV so much for my toddler to keep her occupied. And that was huge mom guilt for me. And I just had to let it go because I couldn't move. So I didn't really have a choice and I just had to let it go. And I had good friends like speaking into my life, you know, who are saying things like, it's fine. You're just getting through this. Like, what else are you supposed to do? But yeah, it can be hard. I think there's a lot of pressure on moms, every single mom, to do the right thing. And yet nothing seems to be the right thing. So I don't know.
Right. I was thinking about that a little bit as you guys were talking, that where does this mom guilt stem from? And both of you said, well, you know, sort of alluded to the fact that you had expectations of what it was going to be. You, Sarah, expected that you were going to be able to breastfeed and it was going to go perfectly.
Sorry, sneezing.
And then you, Liz, were like, oh, I'm not going to turn on the TV for my kid. Maybe like your expectation isn't like, oh, I'm going to just shove them in front of the screen. Mm-hmm. You think, oh, it's just going to be magical and we'll never have to do this. And then reality sets in. And it's really hard to get rid of the expectations and not have the guilt.
Yes.
Right? So right. Maybe those two things are related. Like we have this image in our mind of what it is to be a good mom. And then reality hits.
Yeah. And I think some of that comes from what you see you're supposed to do as a mom, whether that's from social media or books or other people telling you what you should do. And I think either you take on those expectations and pair them with your own that you already have. So then there can be lots of expectations from lots of places. I know for me, a lot of them were my own expectations. But I also get a lot of guilt just from going to the doctor. We talked about how when I go to the doctor, I know they just kind of have to say things because they're giving you probably the best advice, but doesn't mean that you have to take all of that on. The TV is another one for me, putting Broden in front of a screen. I feel guilty about that because I worked all day and haven't been with him. And then we need like a few minutes to get dinner together. And I'm like, I haven't been with him all day. And then I'm putting a phone in front of him to help me make dinner. So it's still similar types of guilt. The doctor wanted us to get our house tested for lead. And since then I've been like paranoid about that and not wanting to do that and then feeling guilty. So those expectations can come from you, can come from other people, what other people say if you're internalizing them.
Right. And what about you, Liz? Where do you think your mom guilt plays out?
I mean, I think I'm a perfectionist in general, and I always want to do everything perfect or like the right way, even though there isn't really a right way, and I logically know that. So for me... yeah, I don't know. I think that it just stems from that kind of like lifelong desire to do everything right. Mm-hmm. And nobody wants to mess up their kid. You know what I mean? So I think there's, when you're getting messages, like if you put your kid who's under three in front of the TV, their brain's going to like combust or something. So then you have this, like you have this fear inside of you because you're like, oh my gosh, I don't want to mess up my kid. But I think the truth of the matter isn't for me something that I've had to walk through. And I mean, I still struggle with, and I still have to talk myself through this. It's just kind of like, I'm going to mess Lyle. Like, Lyle's going to be messed up. We're all messed up. I mean, it's not going to go well completely. You know what I mean? But she's fed. She's loved. I'm there for her. You know, I mean, it kind of is what it is. And I don't always have that attitude, but I'm trying to, because I think that's the only way that we'll make it through parenthood. If we can kind of have that grace for ourselves and just say, you know what, you're doing the best that you can and it's fine.
Right. I was thinking about social media too, and just a little part of it does come from everybody puts, I mean, I'm sort of addicted to watching Sarah put her videos of her baby on social media. So I love watching it and I love seeing it and I feel connected. And I think that's the good thing about social media. But the other part of it is I can't even imagine what it's like now for you guys raising your kids. I raised my kids 27 years ago. And it just wasn't the same because we weren't that public. I only had to deal with a very limited group. My play group was pretty hard for me at times because everybody's kids were doing different things and you're always testing to see if your kid is, you know, up to par or if they're being bad and you want don't want to discipline them. But I can't imagine what it's like for you guys for social media. So what's some of the good stuff about social media and some of the hard stuff related to this subject.
Well, I mean, I definitely agree with you. Like, my family, who doesn't live close, like, they love seeing pictures of Lila, and I could just text them, you know what I mean? But it's an easy way to kind of reach a lot of people who want to be a part of your life that can't just come over every day. So that's fun. And I have friends from college that I don't really keep in touch with, and I can see their life. Like, I think it's a really great way to connect. I think there's a lot of positives, but I think you kind of have to know yourself too, because it can also be really overwhelming. You're seeing someone else's kid do something that your kid isn't doing, or their kids are dressed cuter, or that mom looks put together and I look like a whale half the time or whatever. So, there's good things and there's bad things. For me, I think that social media has been more helpful than not, which is something that I kind of had to just discern for myself. And so I continue to be a part of that world. But I think if it became an issue where it was causing a lot of anxiety or a lot of stress, I might have to take a little bit of break, because I can imagine that for some people it's crazy.
Yeah, I get a little bit amazed about how much better you guys are as young moms. Like, sometimes I say, oh, it must be so much harder for you. But I think that you guys are, your generation is a lot more able to say, oh, this sucks, or this is really hard. You're a lot more transparent and vulnerable with each other. Like, I see a lot of young moms on social media who are like, okay, today I have my hair in a ponytail and I have no makeup on and I don't care. And I don't think that would have happened as much when I was raising my kids. So I love that about your generation. I love it. But social media can be good and bad. What about for you?
Yeah, and I know, Liz, you mentioned the other day that social media helps you to stay connected, because you're a stay-at-home mom. It can be kind of isolating with just a toddler at home. So that connection, I still think, is probably the best thing for me as well. With family far away, they can see pictures of Broden and videos of Broden and staying connected with him. I think one of the hardest things for me, and maybe it's not about comparing as much with my child, but comparing my life to other people's lives who didn't have children yet, because Broden was a joyful surprise for us and we weren't quite ready. We hadn't planned on having a child right away. So to see people put those snapshots of their lives, which are like their best vacations and fun things they get to do, where we jumped right into parenting pretty young. So we didn't get to do that. And we don't quite have the money for it with a child. We don't get to go all these places that it appears people go when they don't have children. So I think that's been the hardest part of social media for me.
And do you feel guilty that you're upset?
Then I feel guilty about that. Yeah. Then I feel guilty that I'm wishing I got to do some of those things and wasn't without held back Broden by a child.
Yeah. Never ending guilt cycles.
Yes. Right. The never ending guilt cycles. Cause then you can say, oh, I feel guilty that I was even wishing that I was not a mom.
Right. Yeah. I had a lot of that guilt in the beginning because we didn't want to get pregnant right away. And then you think of like just people who have a hard time getting pregnant and you feel sad that you're like wishing you didn't have this. I mean, we are so thankful and we love our child, but it does bring that initial guilt when you weren't delighted to hear the news that you were pregnant.
Right. I remember Sarah's crying for about 3 months.
Yeah. And that's just,
that's what's true.
It is what's true.
It was something that wasn't expected and you had to navigate through that. Mm-hmm. And that is what is true. Sarah was the same for us. I did not want to be pregnant and found out I was pregnant. And here we are. And I don't regret it for a minute now, but I was really upset.
Doesn't make it any less hard in the moment.
It did not. And I felt really guilty that I was really upset about it. And then I was worried because I had heard that if you have bad feelings while you're pregnant, you can pass them along to your children in utero. So it is. That does start before you even
give birth.
Mm-hmm. Wow. It's crazy.
Well, then I think too about the mom guilt, like if we're going down that path of being pregnant and like what you should and shouldn't eat, how you shouldn't lay in bed, like on this side, on that side, should I drink this? Like, can I drink water? Can I not? Can I drink champagne at this wedding? Can I not? Like, I mean, there's just, it starts so early and it's so hard to navigate. I remember feeling really overwhelmed with this baby. I'm just like survival mode. I actually forget I'm pregnant a lot because I'm just chasing a toddler around. It's very different. But with Lila, I'm monitoring every week. She's like a blueberry. She's like a grape, you know, whatever. So I'm monitoring every week and monitoring every single kick and every single movement and everything she's doing, everything I'm eating. And it was overwhelming, but you have all this information coming into you of mm-hmm. this is what you need to do. And same with the negative feelings, like you better be doing yoga because if you're stressed, and I'm a high anxiety person. Yeah. So for me, it was also like, should I take my meds when I'm pregnant? Should I not? I mean, there's just so many things coming at you and you haven't even had your kid yet. Like you're just starting out and it's so overwhelming.
Yeah. It's so sad. I feel like most moms out there are just trying to do their best with what they have. The amount of money they have, with their life situation, with the number of kids that they have, with all of their own mental health issues and their marriages and everybody's just trying to do their best. And yet we have this underlying constant, we're not good enough.
And I remember lying awake with Google so many times, like trying to Google, like, is this okay? I had a sip of this.
Google sucks.
Like, can I do that? And then you're hearing, I think the first time we tried to let Broden like cry it out because we were just so exhausted. And then I like read this mom's blog about how she ruined her child. And to this day, he won't sleep in bed because they let him cry for a couple hours. And I just remember being like, I just messed my child up for like their life when I let Broden cry for a few hours.
Right. Because one mom and one kid, but that, mm-hmm. you know, it's, yeah.
I don't even know who that mom and kid were.
Right.
There was someone on the internet that I Googled.
Thanks to Google, you found it. You found that one mom, yeah.
Right, and that's one of the things I think we wanted to, really why we're talking about it today, because both Liz and Sarah have this huge ability and passion for being authentic and transparent and vulnerable and giving other people, each other, mm-hmm. permission to be exactly who they are, where they are, and how they are mm-hmm. On their journey. And whenever I talk to Sarah, I always say to her, who's this friend? Are they a normal person? Are they going to make you feel more guilty, less guilty? Are they going to be able to be kind to you when you're not having a good day? And I remember her talking about Liz and be like, oh, thank God. She's normal. She gets it. She's not making you feel worse than you already do. And so I love that about both of you. I think that's really cool that you guys are both really good. And I've seen Liz do it to Sarah, and I've seen Sarah do it to other people, and even in her conversations when she talks about Liz. So I think that's kind of one of your big messages out there today, is to just give people permission. Mm-hmm. How does that play out for you in your relationships, Liz? Do you have people that give you permission, and then how does it work with your mom friends?
I find that I don't spend a lot of time with people who I feel exhausted by, which is real. I mean, it's really hard for me to kind of like discern that. But yeah, I mean, I think it's hard because you kind of want to stay busy, so you want to have a lot of friends that you can do things with. But I've tried to kind of discern moms who maybe are a little bit more drama, or, you know, or who I don't necessarily feel supported by, or I don't feel like I can be myself with. Like, I mean, if a mom can, I don't know, discipline my kid or not care that my kid's hitting their kid, or like there just has to be this sort of sense of do whatever. If I'm around moms who are saying I'm sorry all the time when their kid's crying, or who gets upset when Lila grabs their kid's sippy cup or whatever, that's just really hard for me. So not that I don't like those moms, but I think just discerning what you need in order to keep your own sanity and what are going to be kind of those best friends for you that you can spend time with, who are going to parent, almost like parent your kids like you would, and just kind of, you just sort of, you're all in the same room together and you have your coffee and you're just kind of doing it together some mornings. So it's hard though, because I think a lot of times you end up having to like say no to certain play dates or hurt people's feelings. And yeah.
And Liz, how have you been like as a friend then? Is that kind of uppermost in your mind when you're talking to other moms?
Yes. Yes. I feel like I'm always thinking that way. I just kind of think it was a little bit how I was created. Like I always say, I don't think I can really help but be vulnerable. Like I don't know. Like I just came out that way. I don't know. I just sometimes to the point of like embarrassment for my family. But so yeah, I mean, that's kind of always my huge thing with my friends too. Like, it's fine that your kid just like threw a bunch of stuff in my house. You know what I mean? Or like, it's fine if they're jumping on the couch. Like, let's just leave it. You know what I mean? Let's just sit here and let them do their thing. And, cause I want moms to be able to come into my house and to be able to like come into even like, just like my energy, like be around me and feel comfortable and feel like they can, their kid can be who they are and they can be who they are. Cause I mean, that's what I need. So that's what I know other people need that too. So that's my goal.
Yeah. I think we liked, especially when our kids were even, well, like just a few months ago, I guess it wasn't that long ago, but we liked that both we could hang out because both of our kids kind of were grabbers and like, I don't know,
a little aggressive.
The eye rake and they went after each other, but then we didn't have to feel that guilt or feel bad about it. We just had permission to let our children be learning. And
right.
I think when you are with other moms who are okay with you just having to be in the learning stage all throughout parenting, that it's okay that you keep learning and that your child keeps learning and that there's a lot of freedom to do that.
Right. I think yesterday we were at some kind of a little park and there was a bunch of boy toddlers fighting over like the tractors in the play yard. And I just laughed because I was like, every mom just went, no, 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 like trying to keep their kid under control. Because everybody's trying not to look like their kid is the bad kid, but all of their kids are fine. They're just at that age where they're learning and they're all learning. And you guys are going to find that, I think, all the way through, that the parents that you are going to spend time with that are okay, that everybody is still learning and you guys are still learning as moms. So your kid's learning. Who's ever done this before?
Right. Just yesterday, I took Broden to the park for mom's group, and I was so embarrassed because Broden full-on pushed this little boy that's the son of one of my friends 3 times, full-on, like, and almost, like, lure him in with his hand, with one hand, and then as soon as the boy got close, like, knocked him to the ground, and I felt so guilty, but thankfully, I texted that mom after, and I said, I'm really just still learning. I'm learning how to harness Broden's energy in a positive way, and she was very gracious. So I think you have to be drawn and you have to make time for people who add to that freedom and not add to the guilt.
Right. And Sarah, I think that you're pretty good at doing that for other people. I've seen that your whole life, that because you're fighting, and Liz, you alluded to this, maybe we all are at some level, but maybe it's just the three of us in the room, some perfectionism in yourself. And so you're always doing that self-talk. It's going to be okay. I'm going to be okay. I'm still learning. It doesn't, you know, where the bigger monster of it needs to be good and right and perfect is looming in the background. So it is good that you guys have each other and other people that you can be like that. And it's almost instantaneous. I feel like you can sort of tell if you feel safe with somebody.
Yeah.
And I just glad that you guys have that mantra for yourselves. I think that's going to make you guys great friends to people and hopefully inspire people to be great friends back, that they feel okay inside that their kid is grabbing your kid's lollipop. But how does that toddler know that he's not supposed to do that?
Right.
That's like a lollipop there and it's for the taking. And so how else would you think you guys would combat your mom guilt? What ways are you combating it?
I think what you said, that we know about ourselves, that we have this looming monster of perfectionism that we've kind of battled our whole lives before being parents, and anxiety before being parents helps us to be aware that that's probably going to come up in parenting. So then trying to watch the messages that you hear from what you read on social media, what you hear from other moms, what you read about in books.
So the doctor,
being very aware of those messages, and then trying to find messages that give you freedom, as well as speaking those to yourself.
Right. A lot of self-talk. Mm-hmm. I think when we were preparing for this, I think, Liz, you said something too about self-care.
Mm-hmm.
And how does that play out, do you think, in assuaging your mom guilt?
Yeah, I mean, I think self-care is really important. Like, when I'm in touch with myself and my own needs and the fact that I really am doing my best, then I can kind of parent from that place. So, I mean, for me, that really just means time by myself. Like, I need isolation to kind of recuperate my own energy, whether that's like going for a swim or going to a coffee shop or whatever. So I try to really like take that time. I try and even if it means a nap in the middle of the day or whatever, I try to really take that time for self-care. And sometimes I don't like always get it. Obviously, if I'm home all day and my husband doesn't come home till late, like I'm kind of on. But yeah, I just try to take time for myself. I think that's really important. But
well, that happened even today, right? We were going to be recording on Lila's nap.
Right.
And you texted us this morning and you were like, look, I got to take a nap.
Yeah.
And I'm going to have to figure out how to do this after the nap.
Right, right. I'm like, this is just like what it is. But trying to do that as much as possible. I mean, I'm comfortable doing that with Sarah, but even doing it with people who I might not be comfortable doing it with, you know what I mean? Like, which is hard. So I think challenging yourself to kind of like what you said, Sarah, is like fight back on some of those things that we've been facing maybe our whole lives with perfectionism and stuff like that. So, I try to be really intentional, I think is the word, intentional about not letting that weigh me down, and being really honest helps too. Telling friends, like, I feel really guilty about this, getting it out in the open instead of just letting it sit and fester in your own mind. And usually they'd say, oh yeah, me too. We're all doing it, you know, or whatever. Which is really helpful. Cause I'm like, oh, okay, well, what am I really doing with this? The other thing that was a really interesting and really great surprise to motherhood for me is I'm so emotionally and physically exhausted most of the time that I'm just done caring about things in a lot of ways. So I just am like, okay, whatever. You know what I mean? Like, that person said that one thing, I don't even care. They feel a certain way about me, I don't even care. Like, I just don't care. I don't have the energy for it, which has been really helpful for me. Because accidentally, you know what I mean? Parenthood has in some ways made me just not care about things that I maybe before would have been so important to me that somebody thought this certain way about me. Right. Just this morning, Lila had an allergist appointment that I had to take her to, and then we had to stop and get milk because my child will not drink anything but milk. And Lila had like a full-blown toddler meltdown in Wegmans, like where, you know, she flops to the floor and she arches her back and you try to stand her up and she flops again. And then she like proceeded to drink out of some random person's like Starbucks cup that was sitting on, and like Lila loves Starbucks cups, so she proceeded to drink. And maybe a year ago I would have been like, oh my, like mortified that my kid was having a temper tantrum, and like people were watching me and I was just kind of like, hey, like she's 20 months, you know what I mean? I mean, here we are, you know, we're taking 45 minutes to get milk from the grocery store because Lila's been lying on the floor. So yeah, that's been helpful for me to be so tired that I can't really care has been really helpful for me, because I think in some ways I've overcome some of that need to be a perfectionist, and I'm out there and it just is what it is.
You can't.
You can't, yeah.
You can't hold it together, otherwise you just would be crazy.
Yeah.
I love that story. Yeah.
I think one of the things, Mom, maybe you have taught, maybe this is a message you've taught me, but is take the long view. And sometimes you can get so caught up in the isolated moment of like, right now I just have to survive to make dinner. And if it's 15 minutes of Broden watching Tayo, the truck we just discovered on the phone, it's that 15 minutes. And in the long view, if I look at his whole day or even the whole week, all the other things I've done to take care of him and spend time with him and love on him and make sure he has everything that he needs, the things that he needs. So taking that long view of days and even weeks and even years, right, I think helps than that isolated moment when they're
right. I think
you're doing something that causes guilt.
Yeah, I think one of the funniest stories I've ever had, now this is really taking the long view, was I felt so guilty that we didn't have enough family dinners for a long time because everybody was playing sports. And I thought, we never eat dinner. And so one night at dinner, I asked, I forget, my 14-year-old at the time, Josh, and I said to him, Josh, how often do you think we have family dinner? He was like, ugh, every day you make us have family dinner. And I had so much guilt about not having family dinners, but in his mind, it was like all the time, every day, and I made a point of it. And I guess maybe I just made a really big deal when we were having family dinner so that it felt like every day. And I thought, well, everybody's perspective is so different. Mm-hmm. Like my perspective was, I'm not doing a good job. And his perspective is like, oh, I wish I could just like not have dinner with the family once in a while. And so that was really helpful. Mm-hmm. Once I sort of got to the other side, he remembers that's primarily what we remember. And in fact, I think he wrote an entire college essay on our kitchen table, which I just felt guilty about that we were never at enough. One thing I think that I've definitely learned over time is we are going to all have that guilt. We definitely are having, there's nothing we can really do about it, but I don't want to make like really big choices from that place. I want to try to make the choices that I made and just go with them. And I am probably going to still feel guilty. No matter what choice I make. I think we joke about like, when do you let your child scream it out versus pick them up and hold them? Something that simple. And it's like, tonight I'm picking them up. Tomorrow night, I'm probably going to let them cry it out. And it might just be like how much room you have. But even recognizing for me that I'm going to have the guilt no matter what, and I'm just going to make decisions probably from other places instead of that guilt. Try to make them from other places. And then as soon as I'm making them out of guilt, I don't want to do that because then I'm just feeding that monster. Do it anyway with the guilt. Do what you're going to do anyway, and you'll feel guilty and still do it.
And if you make a decision out of guilt, then there's lots of grace for that too, I think is important. Because I know if I feel guilty, I'm someone that if I don't like either choice, I just stay paralyzed and don't make a choice. So sometimes I make the choice out of guilt and then I look back and reflect, maybe don't do it next time. Or yeah, I think making those choices, even in spite of the guilt too, is what you're talking about.
Yeah, I love what you're saying about grace. And that's probably one of the big answers, like giving yourself permission, but giving yourself grace no matter how you do it.
Yeah. I think what's been helpful for me too is giving other people grace.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like I have friends, you know, who parent very differently from me, but I can look at them and say, yep, I would do that if I were them. You know what I mean? If I were in their situation, I would totally do that. And that helps me too, because the more judgmental I am of other people, the more I think that people are judging me. When I have grace for other people, I can really start to give myself more grace. So that's helpful too. I mean, I guess, I think, it comes down to grace and it comes down to just awareness of yourself, right? I feel like so many things come down to awareness of yourself, which is why self-care is important and really knowing yourself, whether that's through therapy or through time alone or whatever. It's really important as you're trying to kind of navigate parenthood, and if not parenthood, I mean, just life in general.
Life.
Mm-hmm. I love what you said about like giving other people grace. One of my favorite things to do now is when I see another mom, even just a stranger mom. I think I did at the farm the other day, I saw a mom whose child did something like just weird that the child shouldn't do.
And I
just looked at the mom and I said, oh yeah, my child has never done that. And just to like give her freedom that like, I'm only smiling and laughing because I just went through that same thing about 3 minutes ago. And even if I can give a stranger who is a mom that kind of permission to feel okay, one of my favorite things now, it makes me smile. And then also what you said about giving that grace helps you to give yourself more grace. And that when I know for me, a lot of that guilt about daycare and about breastfeeding was because I had judged other people. And then you have to live under your own judgment. And that's really hard when you have to live with your own judgment. And so giving grace to others helps you to give it to yourself.
Right. Judgment. I think Sarah and I've talked about this in the past. Jesus was super smart when he said, don't judge, because the way you judge, you'll be under that same measure, because the more you judge other people, then you have to live under the judgment that you have for them. So if you're like, oh, I'll never, you know, go back to work, or I'll never feed my kid a lollipop before dinner, or whatever it is, you say, I'll never. And then all of a sudden you're in the situation where you're going to give your kid a lollipop before dinner just to survive. And so the less judgmental you are, the less judgmental you are of yourself, and the more grace you give. Grace begets grace and judgment begets judgment. And oh, it's so yucky.
Yeah,
I don't love that. I mean, and I've done that my whole life and paid the penalty for judging others. And then also received the blessing for when I went on the journey toward a more gracious person. And the more gracious I am with others, I get more gracious with myself. So that's really cool. I love that stuff. You guys are the best.
Thanks.
It's just so much fun. I'm not in that same watching Sarah do it, but I'm not doing it on the daily, except for a couple weeks ago, I was watching Broden and he had a temper tantrum in the grocery store. And I did like something I probably would have not done. And he wanted to go back in like the little cart. And I just was like, okay, you're going back in the cart where you wanted to. Cause I guess it had like a steering wheel on the cart. And I did look around and think, what are other people thinking about me that he just threw a fit? And so I was like, I don't want to throw a fit. Let's just put you in, do exactly what you want.
Yeah. I think it's helpful too, and this is something that I've just started really thinking about, is really knowing like the developmental stages of kids.
Yes.
Because a lot of times when Lila's throwing a fit, it's because she's trying to ask for something and I'm not understanding, you know, and I might not necessarily, I mean, today Lila wanted to just carry like 3 bags of chips that we weren't going to buy through the grocery store. So I would probably not oblige it anyways, but she was frustrated because she was trying to tell me something and I wasn't understanding it. And so I think that's helpful too, sometimes for my like own mom guilt. Like, it's like, it's not because you're a bad mom. It's because you have an almost 2-year-old who's trying to communicate. Right. Although Sarah, it was really funny when you were talking about what you said to that mom at the farm, I was really wishing that someone in the grocery store would just say like, hang in there to me.
And if they had just been like, been there. And
yeah.
I do that.
Yeah.
I try to do that when I see people. I'm like, oh my gosh, been there. It's okay. And just to any mom that's struggling, I just want them to know. And I said this to Sarah when she first got pregnant and she was upset. And I said, oh, honey, you're joining like the giant club of moms who just get it and get each other. And you can give that person a look across the room and you know that they know what's going on inside of you. And that's like my favorite thing about being a mom. One of my favorite things about being a mom is this big mom boat that we're all in, whether your kid is 2 or 20 months or 62 or 27. So I'm still feeling a little guilty about that. It's really a great idea for us to remember that we are doing this together and we are on this journey, and to really give each other courage. Like, that's what it means to encourage people, is to just give courage to people who are not maybe in a place of like hopelessness or despair with their toddler at the grocery store.
Yeah.
And to say, it's okay, you know. You're going to get through this, or been there, done that, and you're doing a great job.
Yeah. Or like, here, let me get that sweat off your forehead for you. Trying to wrangle a toddler.
Whenever I see those moms, and it'll happen to you guys as you go through your stages, the moms whose kids were like the most bad, the ones who weren't performing, were the moms I wanted to be friends with. Find the mom whose toddler is stealing.
Oh, that's great. Because our kids hit each other all the time. Yeah. That's why we gravitated towards. Yeah. But it's great because I don't feel like I have to apologize to Sarah when Lila hits Broden, because Broden's about to hit Lila back. So we're just like, all right, well, it's fine. Let's just let them fight it out. As long as they're not hurting each other. I mean, because that's really what they're doing. They're communicating.
Yeah.
So it's fine. There's a lot. Right. Yeah, there's so much freedom in those friendships. There really, really are. And true. I mean, my assumption is that people who don't look messy aren't being authentic with their life. And so there's that other piece of me that's just like, I'm sorry, I need someone whose kid is throwing temper tantrums on the ground and everybody knows it. Like, that's what I need.
Mm-hmm. Right. Cause then you just feel known and seen.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Well, thank you guys so much. This was so fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is really great. I loved it. You guys are going to be great moms. Well, you already are, and you're going to be great as you go forward, and hopefully that you will have all the support you need. So these guys both have blogs, I think, and websites and stuff like that. So I want them to tell you where to find more of their awesomeness. And sometimes they write mom stuff, and sometimes they write anxiety stuff, right?
Right.
And sometimes they write whatever you want to write,
right? Faith stuff, yeah. It's a Mod Podge.
It's a Mod Podge. So, Liz, why don't you tell us where to find you?
Yeah, so I blog at elizabethpetters.com. Probably haven't, like, written anything in maybe, like, a month and a half. So I just kind of do my thing whenever I feel like it. And on social media, I'm under Elizabeth Petters everywhere. So you can find me there, too, if you're interested.
How do you spell Petters?
Oh, yeah. It's like Peters with 2 T's. Everyone gets it wrong. P-E-T-T-E-R-S.
I follow Liz's blog and I read everything she writes.
Thank you.
It's really fun. She's really fun. I just know I'm going to go and read something that is just going to be encouraging to people, whether, like you said, it's about faith or mental health or momhood, whatever.
Right.
Whatever you're doing right in the moment. And it's worth following. Sign up for her email.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
And Sarah?
I wrote the other day but I'm trying to remember. I think I am Sarah Plain and Tall at WordPress.
Yeah, .wordpress.com.
Yeah. And
I follow her too.
Mom brain. Yeah. Mom brain is not working. And I'm on Instagram. I think you can find me at Sarah E. Messick.
How do you spell Messick?
Messick is M-E-A-S-S-I-C-K.
And you are Sarah with an
H.
H.
And that's very important to
right.
me.
So
and Sarah.
And yeah, so you're sarahplainandtall.wordpress.com. Mm-hmm. And she writes the same thing. You write about
faith, marriage, sometimes
work.
Work. I write about teaching a bunch and being a mom, just kind of life, whatever comes to me. Same as Liz, I think.
Yeah.
Whenever feeling it, you write.
Yep.
Right. And I read everything you write. Too.
Thank you.
And I follow you. So they are two people that I would highly recommend just because, as you've heard today, they're going to be authentic and transparent, and you're going to feel very encouraged when you read their stuff. So thank you guys so much. I really enjoyed my time.
Yeah. Thanks for having
us. I hope you guys come back. Oh, I forgot to say where I'm found. So you can follow me at www.DollyMamaNJ, because I live in New Jersey.com. That's where you can find me all over social media. DollyMamaNJ on Instagram, Facebook, and even Twitter. So hope you guys have a great day. Thank you for joining us. And to all you moms out there, you're going to make it, and we're with you.